You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We got to calm down.
It was one game.
I agree with you.
And
that's why I wanted IBF, because I agree with you.
The Boston Celtics, and this is the thing I want people to understand, and Yankee fans take solace in this. The Boston, and I don't like the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics are the most disrespected NBA champion in the history of sports. Yes, they had an easy road. Okay? That fact. They had an easy-ass road. That's not their fault.
No.
It's not their fault that they played the teams they played. And what did they do to the teams they played?
Destroyed them.
They destroyed them with one of the most proficient offenses in the history of basketball. So I get it. We all like to be trolls, right? We make fun of trolls, but we all like to be trolls. They're really good.
Yep.
And last night, they were fired up. They were fired up because they feel disrespected.
And they just had the banner risen to the rafters.
Sometimes that backfires on teams, though.
True, but not this team.
Not this team.
It is the exact, basically, same team. Except for Porzingis.
Well, but Porzingis, healthy or not healthy. Right. I mean, that part's the same. Look, they have been disrespected on a lot of levels. Jaylen Brown was disrespected not being on the Olympic team.
Yep.
Jason Tatum was disrespected not playing considerable minutes on the Olympic team. And honestly, we've all disrespected them by saying that they're like not legitimate NBA champions because they played an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been screaming about that with the Yankees. Like, it doesn't matter.
No.
You got to beat the teams that are in front of you. And I think what last night served as for a reminder for not just Knicks fans, but NBA fans is, hey guys, they're good. Can they be beaten? Yes, in my opinion, they can be. But they're really good. That's number one. Number two, the Knicks are a new team. And I commend them for that. They got really aggressive in this offseason.
Yeah.
They were not the Giants from a few years ago. Arguably what the Mets may do this offseason. They said, hey, yeah, we were really good, but we need to get better. And Kat's new. And Mikel is new.
Yeah.
And their bench is new. They're a different basketball team.
This team playing together has been together for less than 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
I mean, essentially, yes.
Basically 2 weeks. Playing against the defending world champions who are the exact same team. Top 11 scorers are back. All the stars are back. The only one is, it's just, again, it's Kristaps, and he's hurt. But who cares? He's always hurt. Right? This, and they were on a mission to break records last night. And you saw it with their three-point attempts.
They failed at breaking the record.
But they tried their damnedest.
Yes, they did.
I mean, how many did they take in the fourth quarter with the scrubs?
13 in a row?
I mean, that's what they missed.
That was a minor victory for the Knicks.
How many did they take?
Yeah.
And they missed 13 in a row. But right. I mean, they took a million of them. I think it was 60.
Mm.
60 three-pointers in a game. I mean, the Knicks took a lot of them. Not nearly close to 60. So this was an exceptional performance by the Boston Celtics.
It was also a bad performance by the Knicks. Like, the one thing I won't live with.
Defensively, yes.
Yeah, I can't hear well. The Celtics just shot the ball incredibly well. They did, but if you go back and you rewatch this game,
yep.
The New York Knicks gave them a lot of open looks. There was a lot of confusion on defense. I thought Mikal Bridges was awful on defense.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of badness from this performance, but it's one freaking game. And it's also a really new team. So I understand the hype of opening night. I feel the same way, especially when my teams have had expectations. But I do think we need to take a little bit of a pipe down off of one loss to an exceptional basketball team.
Right.
I also think that the roles that Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns are taking, we have to accept how unique it is. Mikal Bridges went from being a role player in Phoenix on a championship contender to being like the Brooklyn Nets Mr. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's like, hey, can you go back to being that Phoenix guy? And that's going to take time. And by the way, Knicks fans, there's going to be more of this. Like, they're going to struggle, and that's okay. As long as it eventually fits, it eventually works, guys stay healthy, and you can fulfill the potential
and
of this
way,
roster.
This feels like it always happens with Tom Thibodeau's teams. They struggle early.
Right.
And then eventually, something clicks. They turn a corner, and then they play unbelievably.
Can I now be the
but now
the
be the troll?
Okay. There was nothing that made my night feel better than watching Mikal Bridges struggle last night. Like, it was like a drug. It was like a drug from Argentina.
He's an athlete I don't understand.
Wait, what don't you understand?
Why he changes his shot. Why he's tinkering.
Because he's a stiff.
But why are you tinkering?
I'm just kidding.
Seriously, why are you tinkering?
Especially when you're 37% from three last year, and you were pretty good hitting the corner three.
Yeah, I want to be 39 and a half.
Look, Mikal Bridges' biggest issue last year was not shooting the corner three. That's for damn sure.
No.
He didn't defend nearly as well as I know he can.
But he made his shot look all jacked.
Yeah. It's but like, he went back in the second half.
Of course he did, because he had a catch and shoot, and he just shot it instead of thinking about it.
Honestly, jokes aside, see, this is where I'm going back to the IBO, because I can't troll that much, because the Knicks are going to be good, and like I can't sit here all day and be like, ha-ha, they're 0-1, ha-ha! I think the best thing that happened to Mikal Bridges last night is that he did hit a couple of shots in the second half.
Yes.
Because I think if he continued to struggle, it'd be easier for me and for others, because look, here's the reality. The Knicks gave up a lot for him. And I think with that comes great expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tommy's not the right guy to ask because he's a more positive fan. But there are Knicks fans that are looking to boo people when they don't perform.
Right.
The Sean Morashes of Knicks fans, right? Hey, Carlos Rodon, kiss my fat ass, right?
Yeah.
The Sean Morash of Knicks fans may be looking to boo Mikal Bridges because of what they gave up for him.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's got to take a lot of negativity for the Knicks fan you're talking about.
Yeah.
To boo Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
See how many first round picks they gave up for?
Yes.
Yeah, but what were you doing with those first round
picks?
That's
not the point. You're being rational.
All eight of them. Like
was it rational for
6 years from now?
Like, what are we talking about? Was it rational for Sean to boo Carlos Rodon 5 starts into his career? With the Yankees? Was it rational for him to boo Giancarlo Stanton?
Only because Stanton had so much expectation.
Well, they gave up 18 first round picks for him. I mean,
and he tinkered with something that didn't need to be tinkered with.
Tommy, but before you, because I know you're not the right guy for this, and I respect that, because you're like me, by the way. I don't boo my own guys either, so I wouldn't be the right guy.
I just don't think that Knicks fans are going to get to the point this season where they're booing him.
Oh, I disagree with
this
you.
This season?
Have you ever booed any of your own players?
Yes.
Really?
On the Knicks, are you saying, or just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Max Scherzer.
Okay.
Game one against the Padres.
Now, Knicks, have you ever booed a Knick?
No.
Really?
No.
Why is that?
There were years where they were so bad that they weren't even like worth my booze, to be honest with you.
So Eddie Curry wasn't worth your booze?
Not
worth
Jerome James wasn't worth my breath. So they never got a boo. They got almost more of like a, oh, God, like a, this sucks.
All right, now, I think I know the answer to this, but I do want to be fair and give you this. If Kat or Mikal really struggled, could you see yourself booing either of those two guys?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
No, I couldn't, but I agree with you because I think Kat and Mikal in a lot of ways represent, because they are basically Dante and Julius. And a lot of people are upset that both of those guys are gone.
Yeah.
So they represent the new team. Like I saw on Twitter yesterday, I don't even recognize this team. Yeah, because it's a different team now.
I think people love that team. I think Kat has a better chance of getting booed than Mikal.
I agree with that.
Really?
Yeah, because I think Net fans want to boo.
There's a perception, a prejudice about Kat. Because of some of the things that people have said about him.
But isn't
like he's soft and... but, doesn't play hard, doesn't play defense, like those type of things. That pre-existing narrative about him is out there. I don't think that it's out there like that.
But no, you're right. I agree with you, but Mikal Bridges was referred to as by CP the franchise and by you, Tommy, as the final affinity stone, whatever that term is.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that make it more likely to boost someone that you had higher hopes for?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't. And a little inside baseball here, and I'll admit it to you. I think there's a lot of Knicks fans that are very proud and very don't want to give the Net fan that satisfaction because I think there's...
Nah, we don't exist, bro.
No, they don't
want to say you were right.
Exactly. And by booing him and by getting on him or calling him Markel Fultz, which I heard last night and saw on Twitter, by doing that, you're almost giving wings to the other team.
I want to attach a name to someone who called him Markel Fultz. Mm. Can I put a name to
it?
Yeah,
of course.
A diehard Knicks fan today... to both Tommy and I, said Mikal Bridges is Markel Fultz. And I respect this man's Knicks fandom.
By the way, what happened
and
to Markel
Fultz?
And
that man, he's still around. He's playing with Orlando.
Is he?
That man is Craig Carton himself.
He did say that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
We're going up.
He's a super troll, so it's all good.
He's a Knicks fan.
I know, but he's a super troll. You know that.
I think he
he did that to get a rise.
You think so?
100%.
He did it to make me smile.
We're going up the escalator, and he just turns around and says that, and I'm just like, geez. So I started talking to Sonny, his son, about the Knicks.
Yeah, I think that both guys come here with high expectations. And I don't want to be the one to preach patience, but I'm going to be. You've got to be patient. And I totally agree. Me and Tommy are on the same page here. That's because IBO Evan can be IBO Evan. Positive Tommy and IBO have this weird common ground moment. I think that it's tough because you love that team, but you have to give a new team time to gel and figure it out.
Let me see if I could turn you, though, back into the leader of the coalition. I thought the Knicks played great last night.
They didn't play great last night.
They would have beat...
If it wasn't for Deuce McBride saving their asses in the first half, they would have been down by 50.
Yeah.
If they play any other team on any other night in the NBA, they would have won that game. You're talking about a team that Tiki pointed out that haven't played together basically for a couple weeks here.
Right.
And I thought offensively,
their numbers were respectable.
Yeah.
Their numbers were respectable. Defensively, it was a problem.
But the Celtics did not miss, though. They historically shot.
They were a problem. You have supposedly two great defensive wings. And OG and Markel, and you didn't see it.
I'm looking at his stats.
Is Bridges dead to you? Just say.
Mikal, I'm looking at Markel Fultz's stats right now.
Oh, my God. Markel Bridges.
Right. The point is, you're supposed to have these two wings that are affecting opposing.
They didn't play well last
night.
Look, Tommy, they didn't defend last night. Like,
it was nobody on these on the corner.
I got a project for you, okay? The Knicks don't play till Friday. Actually, going up against Game 1 of the World Series, that's their home opener.
Home opener, Indiana.
Against the Indiana Pacers. Yep. And then they play on Monday against Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken.
Cleveland and I think Philly.
Yeah.
For the first four games are big time.
And don't worry about Joel Embiid will be out. Like, he's taking vacation already.
He's taking a sabbatical.
Sixers are now being investigated by the NBA.
They should be.
Lazy
bum. Are they really?
Yeah, that just broke.
But if you face any other team, if they hit their open threes, they're going to score on you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as if Boston shot 65% from three by hitting tons of circus shots.
No, they got second chance opportunities and they had
left
wide
open. And by the time they figured it out, it was too late.
Yeah.
They were just on fire. It was too late.
Knicks didn't play well last night.
I disagree. I think they did play well last night. Like, the Celtics played better. They played out of this world. They tied the record for three-pointers.
Do you think Mikal Bridges played well last night?
Even if I thought offensively he did.
Do you think Karl Anthony Towns played well last night?
I did. I thought Karl played well. Deuce, I think, was amazing.
Deuce kept him in the game.
Yes.
I give you Deuce. Of course, Deuce was amazing. If Deuce doesn't do what he did in the first half, they're down by 45.
Boston hit their shots last night at an insane clip. That's not going to happen every single night, but that is what the Celtics do.
It's hard to say they played poorly when they hit 55% of their shots from the field, 37 from three-point range, and 75 or so percent from the
line. At one point, they were 60% from the floor, and they were down like 20 points. They got steamrolled by an insanely well-oiled machine championship. And it's not excuse-making. I watched that game and said, the Knicks played a great game on any other night against any other team. They win the game. And can I point one other?
Defense counts, bro. You can sit here and give all the offensive numbers you want. Like, you got to defend.
Yeah, but the Knicks could have left the court. And the Celtics may not have shot that great from three-point land. Come on, Evan.
I'm
tipping my cap to the other team that was just like crazy great.
Well, two things can be true.
The difference, the little things made huge differences, like the turnovers. So we talk about Brunson. He had four turnovers, or two assists, right? Two assists, four turnovers. On the night, 12 turnovers to four. So, and what does that lead to? a lot of extra shots and a lot of second chance shots for the Celtics. The Celtics outshot them 95 to 60 something, right? No, 78. 95 to 78. That's a big deal, man.
Well, and also it's the math game, and sometimes basketball is all about math.
Yes.
Even when you're shooting 52% from the field or 54% from the field like the Knicks are, if the Celtics are taking all their shots from three and they're landing it at that clip, you can't keep up math-wise when you're taking half the amount of threes as Boston's taking.
They shot almost 50% from three-point range.
Right.
From three-point range.
Right, no, I get that.
And they shot 61 of them.
Right, they shot a ton. And that's before they started piling it on in the fourth quarter where they were desperate to break that record. Like, the math game was against the Knicks in the first half because the Celtics were taking a million threes.
To me, that was just the Boston Celtics, the champions. Although I still think the Knicks are the uncrowned champions.
They're just great.
Right.
They were great.
But
they played great.
But what I saw for the Knicks that I thought was very encouraging, Bridges had to see the ball go through the net.
I
saw that in the second half. That was huge. There were a couple things, and Shaq and Charles, who liked to pick on Cat, but they were right, where Jrue Holiday was on Karl Anthony Towns underneath the basket, and Cat's got to demand the ball there and dunk it in his face. Right. He's got to be a little more aggressive.
But see, this is why we were just talking about who they're booing first, it's going to be Cat. Because if you get a guard who is 7 inches shorter...
That's all guarding you? Like, he shouldn't have been on him.
Maybe 9 inches shorter.
But remember, that's what makes...
80 pounds lighter.
Batik, that's what makes the Celtics special. They've got five guys they will switch on with anybody.
True.
They'll switch Jrue Holiday on a five.
But
they'll switch Al Horford on a one.
But that's fine. But if you're a dog, meaning and that's what Cat is supposed to turn into, Loogie...
A cat into a dog.
Yep, yep. You just got to demand it, give it to me, and I'm dunking on you.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon on at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.